This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. This man knows his draft. That's why he's with us. He's Jeremy Wu. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you very much. Before we get Cavs specific on you with the fifth overall pick in the draft along with 26, boy, does Kip, first of all, nobody wants to see Kevin Durant go down. There are so many things you can talk about with that. With your expertise in this, how drastically does it change the landscape in the offseason in the NBA?
Well, I think it's just interesting from the standpoint of, you know, if he does choose to opt in and stay, then you know, you have so many teams clearing cap space, right? And it just it's a you know, big piece off the board. I mean, surely, you know, maybe he will still hit free agency. But if you're still trying to find him, then how much do you pay him, and how long do you wait for him, not knowing, you know, that with this type of injury, right? So I think it just throws a lot of uncertainty, and I think it'll probably help the market for, I mean, if you try to trade for Anthony Davis, I mean, you know, there's not as many guys now who are out there you can go get. So, I mean, he's one you can go get, and then, like, you know, it'll be interesting to see if it changes what Kyrie does, or, you know, who's pursuing Kawhi and how aggressively. I mean, these are all guys who are going to be on the board. You know, it might help second-tier guys like Jimmy Butler, and, you know, guys who are, you know, probably max-level guys, but maybe not the first choice for some of these teams. I think it's going to probably help that market, too. So, again, we'll see. I mean, we don't really know until he hits free agency, or if he will, right?
Right. Hey, Jeremy, so I'm looking through your latest story, your mock draft. Jared Culver is who you have coming to the Cavaliers. Why? Why is that the right fit?
Yeah, I think he's a good, you know, fit with what they have going on. You know, I think it's possible maybe – maybe they do move down and try to get more picks or take on a contract to get another pick. I mean, you know, Cleveland has been smart about this. But I think, you know, Culver is a pretty good fit with Colin Sexton. You know, Culver is very well-rounded. He's good defensively. I think his shot's going to improve. I think he'll keep working to get better. And the hope is he becomes a really, like, well-rounded, you know, second or third best player. And I think that's in this draft, you know, you're not going to necessarily find a franchise-changing player. So if you just get a guy like that, you can plug in and, you know, have around, I think it's a good choice. I think having, you know, he'll fit with Sexton, who is, you know, aggressive and is going to, you know, take shots, and Culver won't always need the ball and he'll move it. So I don't think it's a bad fit at all. And if you just look at what's on the board, I think if he is there at five, I think he's the best choice for Cleveland.
Jeremy Wu joining us from Sports Illustrated. Jeremy, I've kind of had it narrowed down to three guys at five, and you picked one of them, Jared Culver. Could DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish be in the conversation? And if it's not one of those three guys, who else could it possibly be? Would you agree those are basically the Cavs' three choices at this point?
Yeah, I think Hunter is a pretty reasonable. I mean, like, personally, I think there's some with him. It's not my favorite pick just because I don't see as much upside there. I think some people would agree. Just, you know, he's an older player. I think offensively, he's just not. I don't think he's going to be a guy you can really lean on to score a lot of points. I think his value is going to come more defensively and blending. I think that's fine. But it's just, you know, if you're in Cleveland's position and you're rebuilding, is that, you know, the building block you want as your primary guy coming out of this draft, right? So I think he, you know, if Culver's gone, I think it's, you know, an understandable pick. I think if they were to move down, say, like with Atlanta and they're picking at eight, you know, if Hunter's there, fine. I kind of feel the same way about Reddish, too. I think he's a guy who actually a lot of teams are scared off by right now, just because of how inconsistent he was at Duke, you know, and there's questions about, you know, him being a little bit passive. And, you know, it's one thing to be a laid-back guy and go out there and put up big numbers, right? But, you know, he didn't do that, and his numbers aren't great. And so teams are trying to figure out at what point does that become worth the risk, because you might take him and he might not pan out at all, right? So I think Reddish is probably more palatable further down. At five, I don't know if he would be the choice.
What's it going to take for the Knicks to move out of three if the Cavs were going to move up? If you were the Knicks, what would you be asking for that, and then how much does free agency have to play into that?
If I'm the Knicks, I'm holding on to three as long as possible, just because I think if they are going to try to pursue Anthony Davis as aggressively as possible, that pick is going to have to be part of the trade. You're not going to be able to get him if you don't include that. And so, if it does get to a point where, hey, they're looking and saying, well, maybe we should move down. It would take at least, an early pick in this draft and a future first, and probably a player, off the top of my head. But again, I don't know moving down, what the market would be for three, right? And who would really come up for RJ in that situation, probably.
If you're the Cavs, Jeremy, and Jeremy Wu joining us from Sports Illustrated, if you're the Cavs and you're sitting there at 26, are you looking to keep that pick and take somebody there? Are you looking to use that pick to try and trade up along with another asset? Or are you looking to just acquire another asset somewhere between 5 and 26?
I think 26 is actually a pretty good spot to pick in this draft, just because, you're seeing, I think, the way teams look at it, the talent really kind of flattens out quickly. And then I think the whole sort of 20 to 35 range, people are all over the place, right? So I think there's a pretty good chance that you'll get a guy who you have valued higher than 26 at 26, just because of the shape of this draft. And so also just, having those late first rounders can be great in a draft like this. You can take maybe a guy who you think can be a good role player, and you can take him, and you're going to get him on under team control, and it's not going to cost that much, based on the slot value. So I think 26 is a good pick to have. I mean, surely if there's a guy who they love and they feel like they have to go up and get in the team, then maybe you try it. But I would be comfortable picking that for sure.
You have Ty Jerome, the guard from Virginia, going at 26 to the Cavaliers. NBA ready? Is that part of your thinking on that?
Yeah, I think he's close. I think he's not going to be a zero. The guy is really knows how to play. He's really tough. He makes quick decisions. He can shoot. The big question with him is just, how is his body type going to hold up? But I think he's answered some of those questions just, in college. He's a guy who has been doubted and has sort of delivered on it anyway. And I think a lot of the times, if you look at the guys who succeed, in these late first rounders or guys who fall to the second round, oftentimes it's these guys who are the more experienced guards who aren't sexy picks, but they end up producing. Right? I mean, look at Fred VanVleet. He went undrafted, right? And then ended up being a huge value, and now he's in Toronto and playing in the finals, right? So, I think if you can overlook some of the physical concerns and you just focus on what he does well, I think it's a good pick there.
Jeremy Wu joining us from Sports Illustrated. Jeremy, is there a guy outside the top three who you think this guy is a franchise-changing player and he's under everybody's radar right now, or does that guy not exist in this draft?
I don't want to put lipstick on a pig. I don't know if there's a superstar in waiting, lying around, going down. I mean, I do like Culver. I personally think he's going to be pretty good. I think there's a case, personally, I think there's a case for him over Barrett, depending on who you are. Wow. I don't think that's the mainstream opinion. And again, that's not me arguing that he's a star, but it's just I think that he can be a pretty good, supporting player, and that's fine. But I mean, again, maybe there is a star. Maybe you take someone who's a 18 or 19 year old who just further down is somehow hits the lottery and turns into a really good player. I think it's not out of the question that can happen, right? And maybe like a guy like Kevin Porter ends up putting it all together and being really good. But overall, it's a draft. It's going to be you have the top group of three guys or whatever, and from there it's very differing opinions from who you talk to.
There are a bunch of teams, Jeremy, in this draft that you think, what would they do with a first-round draft choice? San Antonio has a couple. Boston has a ton. They don't want to, I wouldn't think, load up their team with rookies. The Lakers at 4, do they want to bring in a rookie to play along with LeBron? Do you think the price on first-round draft choices, if the Cavs are looking to do something else with it, is exorbitant this year based on the talent that's in the draft, or is it a reasonable expectation that if a team wants to get another first-round draft choice, they can do it for a somewhat reasonable price?
I think Cleveland, if they are interested in getting another first rounder, I think it's something they could do. I think they would probably have to take on a bad contract to do it, like they've done in the past. You've seen them be willing to do that. I think there are teams that would like to get off of salary right now, and maybe teams that are either in luxury tax and trying to get out, or teams that want to make a run at a big free agent and want to create more cap space. So, Cleveland is willing to use some of their space to do that, and I think it's a feasible thing to get in. I mean, and then getting back to your point on the Lakers, I mean, I would say, again, it's a situation where they're going to have to hold on to that pick as long as possible, because if the Lakers want Anthony Davis, which they do, then that pick is absolutely going to have to be part of the trade. It's not a situation. I think what happens with Davis is going to kind of hold up to the top of the draft, just because the Knicks and the Lakers are right there, and they're trying to I don't know exactly the specifics, but again, if those teams want to make serious offers, then the third and the fourth pick are going to have to be in play.
Jeremy, just kind of an off-topic draft question for you. And it's just, do you think the draft works? I mean, we sit here and we talk year after year about five players that might have a major impact. And then what happens is you get into that and then you notice that, okay, well, maybe there was one or two guys in the second round that really made something happen. Is there a way to tweak the draft to make it better?
I think the answer is always yes. I think there are always ways to improve everything. I can't say I have any big ideas right now in terms of how to do it. Let me throw
this question at you.
Yeah.
Would they be better off having free agency first and pushing the draft back?
I think there's a case for that.
Okay.
Certainly it would help you address needs and sort of know what you have ahead of time. But conversely, I think that, you know, any move you make like that is going to have ramifications that are negative that we just can't foresee, right? I do think it works the way it is, too. Teams right now, the way it is, it lets you use these picks as chips to, you know, sort of position yourself for free agency. And granted, I think there's a bigger unknown, obviously, going into the market trying to sign someone as opposed to knowing you can draft someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a case for it. But I just don't think – again, I'm not a total expert on the, you know, fallout that would happen from that. But I do think the draft works as it is. And, again, I think you've seen the smart teams take advantage of the draft. There are bad decisions that get made every year. There are good ones.
I keep looking at Atlanta thinking if they would have got the Cavs pick, they would have had six picks in this draft. They've got five of the top 42, and then Philadelphia is sitting there with three picks within a range of 10 at 24 to 34. So it's just it's just weird. And then Boston's got three first-round picks. So a lot of teams that are stacked heavy in this draft.
That you would think might be moving some of those picks.
Yeah, that's why. I just look at them, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how they're going to use those as assets.
Right, 100%. Yeah, Boston, again, another team that, you know, might be coming, trying to get Anthony Davis. I mean, these are all, you know, things that they can, you know, it just helps to have that asset flexibility. I think teams are expecting a lot of, you know, I know every year I feel like we say there's going to be so many trades, and sometimes there are, and sometimes there aren't, but there does seem like there's a concrete sense that a lot of things are going to move around, going into the draft and on draft night. So.
Jeremy, we thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Jeremy Wu.
Thanks, Jeremy.
On Twitter, at
no problem.
Jeremy Wu, JeremyWoo, and you can read his latest mock draft at SI.com. Jeremy, appreciate your time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.